Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Yes, Father, today I need to choose to follow you. There's so many issues of life that I'm dealing with, Lord, and you understand that, and I understand that. There's family issues, there's financial issues, there's health issues. Sometimes it seems like the ceiling's falling in, and the walls are crumbling in, and often I wonder what is my foundation that I'm standing on. So many of us are feeling this way, and yet, Lord, we know that we just need to follow you. We need to stay close to you. So we recommit ourselves to you today. I recommit myself to you today, Lord, as I face the issues of life. Amen. Folks, this is Don Crisp speaking from the Good News Christian Ministries. You are listening to, or you will be listening to, a message today from a series I'm just starting called The Issues of Life. But before I get to that, if you choose to contact us with the Good News Christian Ministries at Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Now let me say again the title of this new series we're starting. It's entitled The Issues of Life. You know, I've been thinking about this for so long and just saying, you know, we need to just come to terms with some of the issues of life. Today we're going to deal with the issue of pride. The following week we will deal with humility. Then we'll deal with anger. And then we'll deal with confidence, self-confidence versus God confidence. And then we'll deal with worry and so on as it will go, fear, the issues of life that we are facing. And of course, those issues never end, but we need to know what God has to say about those issues. So I hope you enjoy the journey as we go through this. Again, this is entitled The Issues of Life series, and today's message is on pride. Let's just listen to what God says about the things that he hates. And you look at that and you say, really? God hates things? Yes, Proverbs chapter 6. These are the words that are recorded, beginning in verse 16. There are six things that the Lord hates, actually seven that are detestable to him. And here's the list. Haughty eyes. Now, some of you may not know that term, haughty eyes. That means prideful eyes, arrogant eyes. Haughty eyes. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. A false witness who pours out lies. And finally, a man, and that can be a woman as well, a person who stirs up dissension amongst the brethren. Well, that's quite a list that God puts together. What a topic for discussion. Pride. I'm reminded of the story of a minister who received a card from a note. It was from a lady in his congregation, and she was very complimentary about his preaching. She even compared him to Billy Graham. Can you imagine that? She finished writing the note, and at the end she said, you know, Pastor, I think you are one of the really great preachers of all time. Well, he smiled, and later that day he showed the note to his wife, and his wife said, who is that woman? And he said, well, you know what? She is a very intelligent woman in the congregation who obviously knows and loves great preaching. And then he said to his wife, what about you? How many great preachers do you suppose there really are in the world today? And his wife responded, one less than what you think. Folks, as we look at pride, we have to re-examine our hearts before God, and we're going to really think about this topic today. You know, there was a story that was told about a lion who was very proud. He decided to take a walk one day to demonstrate his mastery over all the other creatures. He strutted his way through the forest until he came across a bear. Who is the kingdom of the jungle bear? Who is the king of the jungle bear? Why, of course you are, mighty lion. And he went on until he found the tiger. Who is the king of the jungle, tiger? Why, you are, great lion. Next, the lion found the elephant. Who is the king of the jungle, fat elephant? That wasn't very nice, was it? Who is the king of the jungle, fat elephant? The elephant immediately grabbed the lion with his trunk, spun him up a few times, slammed him to the ground, stepped on him a few more times, picked him up, dunked him in the water, and then threw him up against a tree. The lion staggered to his feet and said, "Now look, just because you don't know the answer to the question, there's no reason to get so upset." You know, some people just don't understand that they're full of pride, and they don't even realize that it's there. Many of us are like that lion. Think of it. The master pets a dog, and the dog wags its tail and thinks, "Oh, my master must be a god." The master pets his cat, and the cat purrs, shuts its eyes, and thinks to itself, "I must be a god." You know, many of us are like that cat. We just think far too much of ourselves. The Lord hates those who are prideful. Though Jesus in great grace reached down to us, there is still a perverse human tendency to think like the cat, isn't there? You know, as we look at the word pride, we think of the acronym. Someone just took those letters of the word pride and they said the P stands for perfectionist. The R stands for rebellious. The I stands for insecurity. The D stands for dissatisfied. And the E stands for egotistical. By perfectionist, they meant nobody can do it as well as me, so I need to make sure I'm the one that does it. That's a prideful person. Nobody can do it as well as me. It's a rebellious person. I will do it my way, and my way is the only way. Most of the people here who are in authority over me, they're in the position I need to be in. They're in the position I deserve to be in. There's a real attitude problem there, isn't there? That's pride. Insecurity. I am not really comfortable with who I am, but I need to fake it enough so that nobody will ever know about my uncomfortableness. Then there's a dissatisfaction. No matter how good it may be, these people feel that they deserve it to be better. Almost a sense of entitlement. I deserve this. And then there's the egotistical aspect. It has always got to be about me. And if I'm not the center of attention, then I'll do whatever it takes to change that. Pride. You know what? Pride says, "I don't need you, God." Pride says, "I'm good enough just like I am." Pride says, "I don't need Jesus to get me to heaven." The ultimate expression of pride is to think that we can do without God. C.S. Lewis said, "You can collect all the other sins together and make the list, but they are all mere flea bites when it comes alongside of pride." He says that every vice comes from pride, and pride is the anti-God state of mind. Indeed, we see that so often in people. We see it so often in ourselves. You know, when I say the word pride, who's the first person you think of? Now, did you actually just make the mistake of thinking of someone else? Or did you actually take a moment and think of yourself and say, "You know what? It's me, O Lord. It's me, O Lord," standing in a need of prayer. Let's begin this journey together. The statement is this that I want to make, and I want to just place it before you, and we'll see what the reactions are. The statement is, we need to be totally dependent upon God for all that we are and all that we do. We need to be totally dependent. There's the emphasis. Totally dependent upon God. You realize in our society today, there are four reactions to that statement: anger, apathy, acting, and acceptance. Okay, let me unpack that. Four reactions to the statement, we need to be totally dependent upon God for who we are and all that we have and are. Anger. Some people look at that and make it angry and say, "I don't need to be dependent on anybody. I don't need a God in my life. I can make my own decisions. I have my own free will. I'm going to make my life. I'm the one who's in charge. I'm the one who has the power here. I will not submit to a God." And the people become very, very angry over just the idea of having to submit to a God, the idea of being dependent upon a God. And then there's apathy, and we see this in our world today as well. It's what I call the whatever generation. Apathy means you come to the issues of life and, you know, are you dependent upon God? Do you see that you need to submit to God's will for your life? Do you see that God's the one who leads, guides, and provides in your life, but you need to submit to that? You need to recognize you need to be dependent upon Him. And the reaction with apathy is to say, "Well, whatever. Whatever. Who cares? Oh, our generation today is in trouble. They don't even realize it. And then indeed we have the acting reaction, the acting reaction. The word hypocrisy, do you know what the word hypocrisy means? It means actor. And the word hypocrisy appears 20 times in the New Testament. It's a person who is pretending to be what they are not. So that a person who is pretending is actually an actor. We see so many people in church. We see so many people who in the world today say, well, I'm a very spiritual person, you know. And we look at that and say, really? Are you submitting to God's will for your life according to God's word for your life? Well, no. I'm not submitting to his word or his will. I'm my own person. I call him when I need him. And that person is pretending. They call themselves a spiritual person. But in fact, the matter is, they're just a rebellious child. They're just a rebellious child of God. And they're just acting. They're performing. They're pretending. Oh, pride is so hard. And then there's acceptance. Acceptance. To be able to say, you know what? I guess Dr. Phil would look at our lives and say, how's that working for you? And we would look and say, you know what? It's not. I need to come under the control of the Holy Spirit. I need to come under the control of God's will for my life. I need to follow his direction for my life. It's not working out the way I'm going about it. Here's some truths about pride. None of us are completely free of pride. Well, we all know that. None of us are. When's the last time, or how difficult is it for you to say, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, please forgive me? Those who struggle with saying those words, the basis of that and the reason for that is pride. A person looks and says, I can't say I'm sorry. I was I can't say that word. Wrong. A lot of men are like that. You women know that. And none of us are completely free of pride. It also seems, pride also seems to rear its ugly head up over and over again. Have you ever noticed that? And we're surprised by it. I didn't believe I still had that in me. And then there's the issue of those who refuse to admit having pride. They're the ones who actually are the ones who fall because of their pride. And we see that in so many other lives. How come we don't see that in our own lives until it's too late? Listen, there's also categories of pride. Categories. Really? Indeed. Yes. There's social pride. There's spiritual pride. There's financial pride. There's political pride. There's cultural pride. There's educational pride. There's intellectual pride. There's pedigree pride. There's church denominational pride. Well, the list could just go on and on. Isn't it interesting how one might look and say, well, I don't have educational pride. I'm a self-made person. I've educated myself. I'm highly intellectual. You know what? You may have not have the pride the other person has, but you need to look at the area of your own life. So many categories of pride. We need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, would you help me with these issues, this issue of pride? Because it's interesting how pride will be hooked to anger. We're going to talk about that in 2 weeks from now. Anyway, let's continue. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19, it says, God hates pride. Actually, what he says is this, six things God hates, and one more that he loathes with a passion. And that's found in The Message, the newer translation. God hates haughty eyes, or a proud look, or an arrogant look, eyes that are arrogant. Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We know that to be true. Leviticus 26, 18 and 19 declares, if after all this you will not listen to me, this is God speaking, if after all this you will not listen to me, I will punish you for your sins seven times over. I will break down your stubborn pride. God speaks exactly what the truth is. I will break down your stubborn pride. That's one of the reasons we don't deal with sin in our lives. We're too proud. Psalm 10, verse 4 says, in his pride, the wicked does not seek God. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Why? Because there's only room for themselves. You hear me say it over and over again. We live in a me-ism world. It's all about me. And when we hear messages that say it's not about us, it's all about God, we want to respond by saying, why can't it be about me? Yes, Psalm 10, verse 4, in his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there's no room for God. Yes, that person has a tongue that lies, hands that shed innocent blood, hands that murder the innocent. you can place in there whatever you like to place in there. But you might want to think about abortion. You might want to think about how we often throw our friends under the bus just so that we don't have to admit that we're wrong. Let someone else take the hit. A heart that devises wicked schemes. A heart that hatches evil plots. Feet that are quick to rush into evil. Feet that race down a wicked track. A false witness who pours out lies. A man who and a woman who stirs up dissension amongst the brethren in the church or in family life. In other words, a troublemaker. Now look at that in reverse order. A person who stirs up dissension is a person who has lies coming out of his mouth. A person who's quick to run into evil, a person whose heart is devising wicked schemes, a person whose hands are shed innocent blood, a person whose tongue simply lies, a person who is proud, has haughty eyes. Actually, God's list that comes from Proverbs is a very accurate list. Let me come back to that whole issue of acceptance. We talked about those four reactions earlier in the message, the reaction to our dependency on God, whether we're willing to be dependent on God. We talked about one reaction being one of anger, one being apathy, who cares, or whatever, one of just acting. And then there's acceptance. I talked about accepting God's will and God's word for our life. Hymn writers John Newton and William Cowper were very close friends. One morning, reflecting upon the words, now listen to these words, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." Can you say that? 1 Corinthians 15:10. "By the grace of God, I am what I am." John Newton looked across the kitchen table, and these are the words that he shared with William Cowper. He said, "William, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I hope to be. But thank God, I'm not what I used to be." Can you say that about your life today? Have you accepted God's will for your life? Have you accepted that it's not about you, that it's about Him? Are you willing to allow Him to lead, guide, and provide? Can you say today, "I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I hope to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be." As a matter of fact, we know in Scripture, Philippians 1:6, it says, "We're confident of this, that God who began a good work in me, He's going to complete it." God is going to bring my life to completion. He's not done with me yet. There is no limit how far a person can go as long as he doesn't care who gets the credit for it. Good words, aren't they? Those words are on a plaque, or were on a plaque, on the desk of President Ronald Reagan. Did you hear those words? There is no limit how far a person can go as long as he doesn't care who gets the credit for it. Yes. A person who is prideful would put their name and say, "I'm the one who gets credit for this. I'm the one who should be high and lifted up." I am reminded, as you were reminded, of the Egyptian astronomer Ptolemy. In the 2nd century, he postulated that the Earth was the center of the universe and that the Earth was still, and that other planets orbited around other planets, and they rotated, but Earth did not do so. He said that the universe revolved around the Earth. It made sense. And do you know that people believed that for 1400 and some years? And it wasn't until the 16th century there came a man by the name of Nicholas Copernicus. And he started asking questions. He started to think about this. And the reality is he came to the fact where he finally figured out that not only did the Earth itself rotate, but it revolved around the sun. "The world doesn't revolve around us," the people said. This was hard for people to accept. "The world doesn't revolve around us." We hear people in our world today saying that, don't we? "The world doesn't revolve around me." Galileo came along saying the same things. And for advocating these beliefs, the church actually kicked him out and the state put him under house arrest. Copernicus and Galileo pointed to the sun. And this is what they said: "The center of the universe." Copernicus and Galileo pointed to the sun, that's S-U-N, and said, "The center of the universe." Max Lucado, in his book, It's Not About Me, writes as follows: "What Copernicus did for the earth, God does for our souls. Tapping the collective shoulder of humanity, he points to the sun," that's S-O-N, "he points to the sun, and he literally says, 'Behold the center of it all. Now, I want to ask you some important questions as we think about the issues of life. We think about pride. What are you proud about? Now, there are some things that we should be proud. I'm proud when you look at your children. We're proud of our grandchildren. When we look at some accomplishments. But the reality is there's a healthy pride, and that healthy pride is appropriate when it brings honor and glory to God. When our pride brings honor and glory to ourselves, then indeed we can see we're on the slippery slope. We are, in fact, sliding away from the main focus. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. Our goal in life, as is recorded in Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, is to bring honor and glory to God in whatever we do. And we mustn't allow honor and glory to come to each one of us. It will destroy us, folks. It will cause us to become egomaniacs. The Bible's very clear. We're supposed to be Christo-centered, not ego-centered. We're supposed to be Christ-centered, not ego-centered. We're supposed to be God-centered, not me-centered. God needs to be first in our lives. And when we look at our list of priority, and I often ask families, I often ask people in counseling sessions, what are your areas of priority? And they will say, well, you know, my children or my family or my spouse or my work, and they'll have a list, a fine list. But you'll look at it, you'll say, where's God on this list? And I see in today's generation too, a generation of people who will have God on the list, but he's not number one. He's somewhere on the list. You know, they'll say, well, my family, my children are the most important thing to me, then my marriage is important to me, and my friends are important to me, my job is important to me, the way in which we live is important to me, and oh, yes, yeah, yes, yes, and now I'm a Christian, God's important to me. Do you see what's wrong with that? You see, when it's still about what's important to me, then the most important thing that we've missed is God. The fact is, our focus needs to be clearly centered on the one who created us, the one who redeemed us, the one who prays for us, watches over us, guards over us. We have no room. We don't have any room for pride. There's no room for pride in our lives. We must move forward. Now I ask you right now, will you humble yourselves and pray with me right now? Father in heaven, would you hear this prayer? We know you. We love you. It's our will today, Father, to surrender to you, to submit to you. It needs to be all about you, Father, not about me. And I just pray right now, Father, that I will serve you with my life completely, and may my life please you and bring honor to you and glory to you. Lord, remove any pride in my life. Humble me, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, the issues of life, pride, that's a big one. Folks, I want to thank you for your prayerful and financial support of this radio ministry. And as we begin this new series, I want to remind you, if you believe that these messages are messages that need to be heard by all who believe and by those who are yet to believe, then would you please add your financial support to your prayer support? Again, make sure you honor your commitment to your home church first, and then stop, think, and pray, and ask if God is leading you to support the Good News Christian Ministries. And if he is, would you send a check to Good News Christian Ministries, Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. And as always, you can always email me at don.thegoodnews@gmail.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Please encourage others to listen to the radio ministry. They can listen on CFRA 580 AM every Sunday morning at 6:30 AM, or Rogers Cable 927, or CFRA.com, or the Good News Christian Ministries website. Just click on broadcast. So many different ways of accessing this. Now, folks, don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and points you to the cross. Oh, how important that is. A church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life. A church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles, precepts, and promises that are found within it. A church that reminds you that it needs to be about God and not about you or about me. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray that you would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you would empower us to live for you and to bring honor and glory to you and to your name. And now, my friends, may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. May your life be all about pleasing God. May you be grace agents for Christ in a world that hungers for hope, truth, and love. I ask you, Father, to bless that prayer so that each one of us would have our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Now, folks, as we conclude, let's listen to Sandy Patty singing, Shout to the Lord. Amen.
Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord. Let us sing. Shout to the Lord. Holy earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the
is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio.